Good morning.
Good morning.
Probably this morning, when you take a look at the sheets that you have in front of you, they look intimidating. And they are intimidating. But I think that you've reached a point where we're capable of studying classic seminal texts. And here is a Ramban at the end of Parshat Bo that needs a great deal of thought and consideration, and it may even assist us in some way getting through difficult times. I'm not even sure that we will be able to complete the topic of this year today. I'm not sure. It may have to go into another year, but that's okay, because it's all related, in fact, not only specifically to Parashiyot Bo and B'Shalach, or Shemot Va'eda Bo B'Shalach. It's really all of Sefer Shemot, and in a certain sense you're going to see a major part of Torah. Talking about the Ramban at the very end of this week's Sedra. And I'm going to start at the beginning. If I choose to skip, you'll just follow me according to the line numbers that are so conveniently placed for you there. I'm going to give you a rule with regard to many mitzvot. He's going to explain the reason behind many mitzvot. We always want to know reasons behind mitzvot. And here he says, I'm going to give you a rule that explains many mitzvot. Hine. Behold, me'eit hayot avodat gilulim ba'olam, from the time that there was idolatry in the world, me'enosh, from the days of Enosh. You will recall earlier in the year, we discussed the Rambam who describes the beginnings of idolatry on the face of this earth, and it began at the time of Enosh. Hechelu hadeyot lishtabesh be'emunah. People's ideas of faith started becoming wrong, started going off the track. Mayhem, and there were all a wide variety of forms of non-belief. Mayhem, kofrim biikar. There were those who rejected the most fundamental principle of all, which is that there is no God, a creator. Vamrim, and they said, ki ha'olam kadmon. Olam kadmon means the world was always here. There was no act of bria. There was no act of creation. It's not something that was brought into being at a particular moment in time. Ki chashu b'Hashem. They denied God by Yomer, and they said, Lohu, he does not exist. Umehem. Then there were others who were not as much rejecting, because they did believe in the existence of God. Umehem akrishim b'yidiyato hapratit. But they rejected the idea that he knows everything that takes place on the face of this earth. V'amru, and they said, Eicha yeda el v'yeshideyo be'elyon. How does God know? God knows everything. For that matter, is he really so terribly interested in knowing everything? Umehem sheyodu b'yidiyo umakrishim b'hashgacha. There's a further step. A person who believes that God exists, he also believes that God knows everything. Now the question is, does God do anything about that knowledge? Is there divine providence? Does he become involved in what takes place on the face of this earth? So there are those who reject the idea of Hashgacha, God's divine providence. And therefore it means, though God exists and though he knows, v'yasu adam kidigei hayam, man, God leaves them like the fish in the sea. The Ramban very often uses psukim from Tanakh. And here is a pasuk from Habakkuk, where when Habakkuk wants to describe lawlessness or the survival of the fittest, man swallowing up man, the stronger prevails. Violence in the world, so he uses the term, man has become like the fish in the sea. It's always the bigger one swallows the smaller one. Shalom yeshkiyah hakel behem, that God is not concerned with what happened. Vein mohan ones oschar, there is no punishment, there is no reward. Yomru, this third group says, Ozav Hashem et ha'aretz, God has simply forsaken the land, he left. He created it. He knows what's going on over here, but he doesn't want to get involved. No. Hester Panim can only be used about people who believe in God and believe he knows and he is involved, but there are moments at which he, not only by choice, but as a result of punishment, the Hester Panim, God concealing himself, is in and of itself Hashgacha Pratis. It's a decision of divine providence. The Karshe Yirtzel Akim Be'idau B'yachid V'yatzei Mahem Mofeid B'shinhui Min Hagosh Al Olam V'tivau Yidbarei Lakol B'tul Hadeyot Ha'ela Kulam. The Raman makes the following statement. What happens when we're going to see clearly that God makes miracles to an individual or to a community? In one single stroke, the miracle that speaks clearly, shouts from the rooftops that there is a God. But a miracle not only tells us that there is a God, it tells us that he knows and he is involved. In one fell swoop, one stroke, miracles are capable of dispelling all of these doubts. Ki ha-mofet ha-nifla, because the sign that is absolutely miraculous, Moghe, that comes to teach us. Now there are going to be a number of concepts that are going to be repeated a number of times. The unusual miracle teaches Shiesh La'olam Elokav, that there is a God, Mechadsho, who brought it into being, V'yodeya, and he knows what's happening, U'mashgiach, and he is his divine providence is here, v'yachol, and he has the ability. In these four words, the Ramban has summed up our belief in God. That there is the world has mechadish, a God who is mechadsho, who has created it, something, a new creation brought into being, v'yodeya, and he knows everything that takes place on the face of this earth, u'mashdiach, and he is involved, v'yachol, and he has the ability to move in upon history and intervene at any time that he chooses. Because now there's one further step. What happens is this sign and this miracle and this exceptional, unnatural occurrence is going to take place following a prophet who has said it's going to happen? Oh, then we learn something else. We learn as well that God communicates with man. God communicates with man. He doesn't simply know and get involved and is capable of doing, but he communicates. There are lines of communication that are open between God and man. So the Ramban says, when that miracle is clearly stated from the mouth of a Navi in advance, yidbarer mimenu od, there also becomes clear, amitat ha-nevuah, that prophecy is true. Ki yidbarer ha-elokim el-odom, God speaks to men. V'yigales sodo al-avadav ha-nevim, and he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. V'titkayem in zeh ha-torah kula. When we reach that point, point number five, then Torah has a future. All of Torah has a future forever. Once you know that there's a God, brought the world into being, he knows, he intervenes, he is capable, and he communicates. Once you have that, all of the foundations, all that you need, all the building blocks that are necessary in order to maintain, sustain this great edifice called Yahadut, everything is in place. V'lachein yomar ha-katuv b'moftim. Here we come to a point at which we are picking up from last week's shiur. During the course of last week's shiur, we were trying to explain why does God have to teach Paro? Why does Paro have to know that he exists? So the Shem Yishmael said, it's not so much that Paro needs to know, but by virtue of Paro knowing, it's going to strengthen the knowledge of the Jewish people. It's for our sake. He's going to bring a number of the psukim that we talked about last week. And he says, V'lachen yomar ha-katuv b'moftim, therefore, the prophet says about the miracles, L'man teida, ki ani Hashem pekerev aretz, in order that you should know that I am God in the midst of the land. L'horot al ha-hashgacha, that comes to tell us that there's divine providence. God hasn't simply removed himself from the world. He is God in the midst of the earth, divine providence. He hasn't, simply left the world to happenstance and circumstance, as there are those who believe. And then, there's another pasuk in Parashat Va'era, L'man teda ki la Hashem haaretz, you should know that the earth belongs to God. L'horot al achidush. It belongs to him means he made it. He brought it into being. It wasn't always here. Chidush, a new world created by God. Kihen shelo, why is the world his? Shebira'om me'ayin, because he created the world from absolute nothing. Kriatio ex nihilo. You want to impress somebody that you know three words in Latin, those are them. Kriatio ex nihilo. Creation out of nothing. In Hebrew it's simpler. Yek me'ayin. Va'amar, and then there's a third pasuk that says, Ba'avur teidaki ein kavoni b'chol aretz, so that you should know that there is none like me in all of the earth. L'horot alo yicholet. You know what that comes to tell us? That he has unlimited ability. He can do. Shehu shalid v'kol, because he rules over everything. There's nobody who can stand in his way. Ein ma'kev v'yado. Nobody can stop him. He b'kol zeh. In all of these ideas, the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, rejected it all. And Klal Yisrael has to learn. The whole process of the Makos, and we've talked about this over the years, even though it's a long time ago, the process of the Makos were not simply a form of torture. It was an educational experience. I dare say it was a bit of a painful educational experience, but one nonetheless. In Cain, Ha'otot v'hamoftim ha'gdolim eidim ne'emanim, the great signs and miracles are trustworthy witnesses, be'emunat ha'borei, to believe in the Creator, u'betorah kulan, the whole Torah. U'bavuah, so now the Ramban, very famous. Every part of this Ramban is famous. By the time we're finished, it'll be so famous. You have no idea. It'd be great. He says, why doesn't God make miracles throughout all of history? Every so often. There are a few Rishoyim around. You know what we would love? We would love for God, all of a sudden, the heavens split, and you hear God thundering from the very heavens, and he brings miracles and signs. Why doesn't he do it? So he says, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh otu mofeit b'chol dor le'inei kol rasha. God is not going to make signs or miracles in every generation for every two-bit garden variety Russia who turns heavenward and he says, I don't believe you. I come from Missouri. Prove it to me. Seeing is believing. So the relation is going to respond to every one of these guys, or Kofir, or anybody who rejects him. Therefore, remember, the Ramban wants to explain many of the mitzvot in Torah. So he says, therefore, Yitzavo Otanu, God commanded us, Shenaaseh tamid zikaron va'ot la'asher ra'u einenu. We have to make and find ways to commemorate all that we saw with our eyes. We have to remember it. And not only we have to remember it, we have to pass it on from generation to generation. And he's going to describe so many mitzvahs in Torah that are zecher liyitziyas Mitzrayim, a commemoration, something by which we remember Yitziyas Mitzrayim. We turn the miracles of Egypt into history. It becomes history. It becomes part and parcel of our very being. And the point is so that those miracles are alive for us today as they always were. I would say maybe that's the pshat in the Haggadah we say, b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation a person is supposed to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. It means in every generation I'm to re-experience it all. I can see before my very eyes, dam, sardei, akinim, oro, teva, the works, because it has been transmitted faithfully from generation to generation. We should transmit it to our children, and their children to their children, and their children to the latter generation. It is a bit amazing that we have been able to maintain this tradition now for three and a half thousand years. The Hechmir Ma'od B'inyan Hazeh. Now he's going to explain something. I was going to ask it last week, but I didn't. But here he explains it. The Shem Yishmuel last week said, what was it that was the schut, the merit of the Jewish people that they should go out of Egypt? He said there were two mitzvahs that they were given. The mitzvah of milah, circumcision, and the mitzvah of karban patach. Now you should know, there's something unique about those two mitzvot. Those two mitzvot are the only positive commandments. By the way, you have to understand, for most negative commandments, one who transgresses a negative commandment, there is some form of punishment. Not fulfilling the positive commandment, there is no punishment stated in Torah. There are only two of the 248 positive commandments, only two positive commandments for which there's punishment if one does not fulfill them. And they are Korban Pesach and Brit Milah. So the Ramban is saying, because these two mitzvahs, their significance is that they bring to mind everything that took place in Egypt. And that is a fundamental principle of all of Yahadut, because it establishes with us the idea that God exists, He created the world, He has divine providence, He knows everything that's happening, He's involved in history, He can do whatever He wants to do, and that He communicates with men. All of these are the... That's really having summed up all of the 13 articles of the faith. So therefore he says, V'hichmi ba'od b'ing anazeh, k'mo shechayev kodeh ba'achilat matzah, u'ba'zivat ha'petach. He doesn't mention also. I added the other one, Brit Mila. Brit Mila also, one who eats chametz, one doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, one doesn't circumcise himself. Those are positive commandments. For you know, achilat chametz is a lo saseh. Azivat haPesach is the positive commandment, and I'm telling you, Brit Mila also, they are a punishment of karet. Karet means a person dies young. God went even further and he said that we have to write the story of Egypt and all the great miracles and put it on our arms and between our eyes. And also to put it on the front door in a mezuzah. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Now, why come back to it? There's a question over here. How many parshiyot of the Torah are written in a mezuzah?
Two.
Shema and V'hoyom Shamara. In Tefillin, you have Shema, Hoyom Shamara, Kadesh Nikol Bechor, V'hoyom Kiyo. Now, in the Tefillin, let's start with the mezuzah. Simple question. What's the Ramban talking about? Where in the first two parashiyot of Shema does it say anything about miracles? Where does it say anything about miracles in the first two parashiyot of Shema? When we, in the morning and in the evening, when we read Kriya Shema, we read a third parasha. And the third part of Tzitzis, it says, L'man Tiskeru, well, what does it say? Yitziat Mitzrayim. And the reason why we say the third part of Shema is because it has in it Yitziat Mitzrayim. Never remember the most simple things when you have to when you have to quote them. Right at the end of Shema. אני השם אלוקיכם אשר הוצאתי אתכם מארץ מצרים להיות לכם אלוקים, אני השם אלוקיכם. What's the Ramban talking about? The Ramban says we're supposed to write it on our mezuzot. Well, what do we write on our mezuzot? Do we write anything that has to do with the miracles and the signs? The autot and the moftim of Mitzrayim? Let's go a little further. He's going to get a little poetic. Right. The lichtov otalot al pitchei abatim b'mezuzot, also to write it on the entrance to your houses in mezuzot. V'shenazkir zebefinu b'avokur b'erev, we're supposed to say Shema in the morning and the evening, so that we, again, Yetziat Mitzrayim, otot, umotim, signs, miracles, k'moshe amru, as the Gemara says, emet v'yatziv d'yoraita, in the morning when we say, emet v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayom v'yoshor, it's all true. All of those miracles happened. That's a mitzvah in our Torah. How do we know it? Because there's a pasuk that says, "L'man tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha," in order that you should remember the day that you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. Mishana says, "Sukkah b'chol shana," we should make a sukkah. He's listing all of the mitzvot that are related and are reminders of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the great miracles. And we keep telling this and transmitting it from generation to generation. The chen kol kiyosef and mitzvot chabot, there are so many similar mitzvot. Zeicha liyitziat Mitzrayim, zeicha liyitziat, a commemoration of the exodus of Egypt. V'chol, the reason for it all, remember, he started saying that I'm going to explain to you the meaning of many mitzvot. Lehiyot lanu b'chol hadorot eidut b'moftim shelo yishtaku. We bear testimony about those great miracles so that they should not be forgotten. V'lo yeh pitchon pe lakofer lahakrish emunat elokim, so that one who rejects God should not be able to open up his mouth. And look what he repeats now. Ki hakone mezuzah. I like that. I always like this one. You know, he's getting a little poetic over there. You buy a mezuzah for one zuz, you know? You know what a zuz is, you know? There's a father who bought a little gadya for one zuz, you know, chad gadya. You buy a mezuzah for one zuz, the cover of the pitchon, he puts it on his door, then it kaven b'inyana, and he has in mind what it means, kvar hoda, you know what he's done? He has already made a statement, b'chidush ha'olam, that the world is new and created, and there is a God, u'b'yidiyat ha'bodeh, and that God knows, v'hashgachato, and His divine providence. So what are we going to do with this Ramban? Fascinating Ramban. So I'll tell you a story. I went for a walk yesterday, and I found out about the Ramban, and the mezuzah. You know, Yerushalayim is a fascinating place. And then Har Nof is one of the fascinating places. Here it is, my next door to the shul, to my shul in Har Nof. So a son-in-law of the Novominsky Rebbe. The Novominsky Rebbe in the United States is now the head of the Moetzed Gedolei HaTorah. He stands at the top of the pyramid of Haredi Orthodox Jewry. We know each other. Yeah, we know each other. Anyway, here it is. Of all strange things, I had written him a letter and I prepared a gift, a sefer. Then I get into my car and I'm driving out and I see the Rebbe walking along the street. So, turn my car around, get out of the car, and I go say hello to the Rebbe. We had been together at a Kiddush on Shabbos, and I heard somebody tell him, "Oh, what you said about the Ramban and Mezuzah was very good." So I asked the Rebbe, "I'm going to give a shiur tomorrow on this Ramban. If somebody's going to ask me, what does the mezuzah have to do with the miracles and the signs? Tell me." You understand? I'm going to have to be honest that it's a problem, that the question that has been asked, and I'll have no answer. But anyway, so the Rebbe told me what he said. In order to understand what he said, just turn over on second side. Line number 4. Item 4. This is from Parshat Ekev in Sefer Devarim. And this is the second parsha of Shema. Now the second parsha of Shema does appear in the mezuzah, because the mitzvah of mezuzah is written in the first parsha and in the second parsha. And those two parshas are therefore written into the mezuzah. So it says, Leman yirbu yimechem d'mevenechem al ha'adama asher nishba Hashem la'avotechem la'tet lan kimi Hashem ha'amot. You should write them on the mezuzahs of your doors and your gates, in order that you should have lengthened of days, you and your children, upon the land that I've sworn to give to your fathers, and I'm going to give it to them, and your days will be as long as the days of heaven and earth. If you keep all of these mitzvot, the Baal HaTurim says, you should write them on the mezuzot of your house. The samech lei leman yirbu. What's the pasuk that comes immediately after? And you shall write it upon the doorposts of your house. It says so that your days shall be many. Shall yidei hamezuzah lo yavo hamashchit el bateichem. Because through the mezuzah lo yavo hamashchit el bateichem, the destroyer will not be able to come into your house. The sonach lay, and it says near it, next pasuk im shamor tishmerun, that God is going to watch over you. The Baal HaTurim is taking the position, and there's Rashi, Tosfos, and many others that say that the mezuzah is something which protects us. But that said, what's fascinating is here is a Baal HaTurim who may have used the term that he uses just as a poetic license. What pasuk did the Baal HaTurim say? What did he bring? The Samach Lei Leman Yirbu. You see what's underlined? Shal Yidei Hamezuzah Lo Yavo Hamashchit El Boteichem. Through the mezuzah, the destroyer will not come into your house. It's a play on words. Where is that pasuk? It's in this week's Sedra. In this week's Sedra, it says you should put the blood on your doorposts. So that the destroyer shall not come into your house. So the Rebbe said, maybe the Baal HaTurim is not simply using a turn of a phrase. You know what the Baal HaTurim is saying? The function of the blood on the doorposts in Egypt is taken by the mezuzah. The mezuzah comes in the place of the door, of the blood on the doorposts. If that's what the Baal HaTurim is saying, then you know what the mezuzah is? The night of the Exodus. The mezuzah represents the Yitziat Mitzrayim, in fact. Now, when I accosted the Rebbe on the street, so he says to me, I know why you want to know what I said. You want the Tzionish a part of it. So, because there was a Tzionish part on it. The Rebbe ended his remarks by saying, Leman yibu yimechem, the mezuzah is a guarantee of long life where? Al ha'adama, on the land. So he said, you who live in Eretz Yisrael, you have a bayit, you have a house. We who live in Chutzlaretz, anachnu homelessen. We're homeless. So it's health nishtu mezuzah. I said, I did want to hear the Zionist part of it, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's okay. But I wanted to know his pshat in the mezuzah. So this is how he explains the Rambam, which is really, I must say, quite beautiful. That the mezuzah takes the place of the dam that was on the doorpost, the blood that was on the doorpost the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim. If so, that it's quite clear that mezuzah fits in with all of those mitzvahs, and not only that, it may be even more apt than the others, and that's why the Ramban elaborates on mezuzah more than he does about tefillin or sukkah. That's why he talks about the mezuzah you buy with a zuz and you put it up on your house and you have in mind what the real kavana is. That this takes the place of the blood, shalom yavo hamashchit el batechem, that the destroyer shall not come into your house. What we have to do is be zeicher. We have to be zeicher to lo yavo hamashchit el batechem. There are mashchitim all over that want to come in, and some who do make it in, and never we suffer from that. All right, back to the
Back to the Ramban.
Great, this is one thing about Yerushalayim. You know, you can walk the streets of Yerushalayim and just pick up Torah. Yes? Because of the Chag Gadya? So, in other words, so to relate it, in other words, to, by using the Zuz, he's also relating it to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Very good. Very good. Cute Ma'od. That's not some cute. Because the Ramban understands that Mezuzah, anybody's going to stop and ask, what does Mezuzah have to do with Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Akonim Mezuzah Mezuz. Very good. All right, let's go a little further. By the way, you know, you think that we've learned a great deal so far. We haven't come to the most amazing statement of the Ramban yet. You'll see. This. Oh, this is very good.
Where are we up to? What number?
24. 24. Well, aren't those numbers important?
Yeah.
24. The Gam B'Nevuah. It also, the mezuzah also, and all of the mitzvahs, they confirm the idea that there's prophecy. V'hemin b'chol pinot ha-Torah milvad she'ahodeh she'chesed ha-borei gadol, in addition to the fact that one is making a statement about God and His divinity, he's also giving thanksgiving to God for the great chesed, the great kindness. Al osei ditzono, for those who do His will, shal tzionu me'oto avdut, He took us out from that slavery, lechedut, to freedom. Kovod gadol mizchut avotehem achapetze birat shemo, and what great honor this is for their fathers, our fathers, their fathers, those who were in Egypt, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, l'fichach amru. Therefore, our rabbi said, I have absorbed in mitzvah kala kibachamura, be very careful about what seems to be a very light, simple mitzvah, because kulam chamudot v'chavivot mod, all mitzvahs are beloved and desirable. So the whole shor, the modem hen will come, because every moment you have a mezuzah on the door, you are thanking God every moment for the great kindness that He did to us 3,500 years ago. And more than that, the kavanat kol mitzvot, the intention of all mitzvot is shenamin belokeinu, all mitzvot have as their purpose that we should believe in God, but no day love and thank Him, shehu b'ra'anu, that He created us, v'hi kavanat hayitzira, that was the whole purpose of creation, that we should express our thanks to God for having created us. There is no other way to explain the original creation of man. He says the whole purpose of creation was God has no need for man except to bring into being a human being who understands what kindness of God means and to be able to thank Him. And we should have the kavanah of lifting our voices in prayers, the kavanah of batei haknesiyot, the idea that we come into shul and we thank and we praise God, uzchut tefilat harabim, the prayer, community prayer, zeu sheyiyeh lebnei odom makom yiskatu, the purpose of a shul is that a place where people gather the yodu lokel and they thank God shebera'om, that He created them, v'him tziyam, and He brought them into being. And the first thing we're saying, you have to let this be known. V'yomru l'fanav, you know what should we say? What we're saying before Him, b'riyotecha anachnu, we are your creatures. V'zu kavanatam v'mashram v'zal, v'yikru elokim v'choska, call out to God with great strength. Mikana talome, from here you learn, she'tfila tzvicha kol. Tfila requires that you have to say it out. Katsifa notzach l'disha. Katsifa notzach l'disha is a term that means when you have a little chutzpah goes a long way and is victorious over evil. The chutzpah that he's talking about over here is to say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, thank God. Of course, in the next breath we're saying, you did so many great things for us in the past. We need you now, and we need you very badly. Now comes most probably the most fascinating part of the Ramban, and this is going to bring us into a subject that we're going to have to deal with at greater length, but listen, no rush, no worry. ומן הניסים הגדולים המפורסמים אדם מודה בניסים הנסתרים שהם יסוד התורה כולה. He's making a very strong statement. God never wanted the world to be conducted through great miracles. He created nature. And what we have to learn is, what's the nature of nature? What's nature all about? Or for that matter, we may even ask a better thing, question. Is there really such a thing as nature? Or is nature nothing more than an ongoing series of miracles, unending, the kind of miracles that we have become accustomed to? There are two kinds of miracles. There are the miracles that go beyond nature. And then there's the miracle of nature itself. I once described this as a shiur about the nature of miracles, and then there's the ongoing miracles of nature. The Gola Yisrael, Jewish philosophers throughout the ages, have referred to nature not as something that runs by itself. It doesn't run by itself. We say it in davening every morning. God renews creation every moment. It is only His will that keeps everything going. Which means that creation is taking place every moment, every second. It means, therefore, as the Ramban says, the whole purpose of all of those great miracles of Mitzrayim, and whenever else there were miracles in these people, it was only in order to bring to one's attention that beneath the surface, the whole world is miracle. Again, umin hanisim hagedolim hamafursamim, from the great and well-known miracles of the mode banisim hanistonim, man comes to know the hidden miracles shen yisod haTorah kula. Quite a statement. They are the foundation of all of Torah. Listen to the next sentence. I don't think anybody has ever formulated it in a way that the Ramban has. She'in la'odam chelek v'torat Moshe Rabbeinu, a person doesn't have a share or a part in the Torah of Moshe, ha'chenamin v'chol dvareinu u'mikreinu, until we believe that everything about us and anything that happens to us, kulam nisim, they're all miracles. Ein b'hem teva, there is no such thing as nature. U'min hago shalolam, or something that, this is the way the world goes. Bein b'chabim bein b'yachad, regardless if you're talking about the community or the individual. There's nothing that's just plain nature by itself. There's no such thing as plain nature. It's all miracle. It's all Hashgacha brothers. And what does he base this? He bases this. Take a look. And this, the Ramban, it's a theme in the Ramban. He says it about four or five other places in Chumash. We say in the second chapter of Shema, if you're going to listen to God and you will do all of His mitzvahs, I will send rain in its time. If you're not going to do the mitzvahs, then I will withhold the rains. Now, is there anything natural about the idea that our performance of mitzvahs brings rain? What's so natural about that? That isn't miraculous. That isn't miraculous. And if we're not going to perform mitzvahs, the heavens will not bring down rain. This is all miracle. We say it every day. Twice, three times a day, we say it. And we have to internalize, what are we saying? What we're saying is that everything is miracle. On a number of occasions I've quoted Rav Soloveitchik, and one of the shiurim wrote, rain in Eretz Yisrael is a direct communication from God. A direct communication from God. We have to be aware of that. If it rains, we're being told something. If it doesn't rain, we're also being told something. Something not as pleasant. Not as pleasant. Because there's no such thing as nature. There is nothing that can be called nature. Elohim yasa ha-mitzvah. The Ramban goes on to say, if you do mitzvahs, yatzlichen u'scharo. Reward is that a person will be successful. Vim yavar alayim. And if one is going to transgress, yachrit senu oncho. Punishment will destroy him. Hakol v'gzeiras elyon. Everything is a decree from on high. Kasher Iskarot Yitzchak, I've already mentioned a number of places. ויתפרסמו הניסים המסתורים בעניין הרבים כאשר יבואו ביהודי התורה בעניין הברוכות הכלולות.
He now says all of the brachos and klolos that we're going to come to in Parashat Bechukotai and in Parashat Kitavo, they're talking about nisim yistorim. If we're not going to do what we should be doing, all sorts of terrible things will befall us.
K'mosh Amar Kosev, as the pasuk says, V'amru kol ha'goyim, all of the nations will say this, the pasuk later on, I believe in Hazinu, Amar osa Hashem kochol oretz hazos, why did God do this?
Now, if goyim will realize that if something goes wrong here, this is an act of God.
V'amru al asher ozvu, because they forsook b'rit Hashem l'shei avatechem.
Everything is miracles.
Everything depends on us. She'id parasem hadovah l'chol ha'umot. It becomes known to all of the nations, shehu mi'eit Hashem ba'on sham, that it comes from God. V'amah b'kiyum, when Jews fulfill mitzvahs, it says, v'rol chol amei ha'aretz, all of the nations of the world will see, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that the name of God is called upon you, v'yaru mi'mecha, and they will fear you. V'od ha'farei zeh be'ezat Hashem. All right.
Don't turn over to the second side yet. Don't turn over. The second side is an unbelievable Meshech Chochmah in Parashat Bechukotai. I'm not yet going to go to the Meshech Chochmah because I'm always very careful, be it a Ramban or a Meshech Chochmah. I don't want to, it has to be studied and studied carefully. But I do want to tell you another fascinating idea that I saw recently. And there it is, the first Rashi in Chumash. How many times have I told you that you have to know that Rashi? If somebody's going to wake you up in the middle of the night, you should be able to say the Rashi by heart. If anybody has learned anything by me, they've learned about the first Rashi. And now, we're not talking about any political ramifications of the first Rashi. We're talking about the religious ramifications. What is the first Rashi? And by the way, the first Rashi is related to this week's Zevra.
First Rashi says, Om Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo ha'yatzorech la'atchil et ha'torah, Elo me'ha'chodesh ha'zelochem, Shehin mitzvah rishonah shenitzavu bo Yisrael. Torah should have begun, Torah is a book of legislation, it should have begun with the first mitzvah. Which is the first mitzvah? This month shall be unto you the first of months. Where does that mitzvah appear? That mitzvah appears in Parashat Bo. Matam. Pasach v'Bereishit. Why does Torah begin with Bereishit? So Rashi answers, Mishum Korach Matzav Higid La'amo. God tells his people the strength of his acts. La'tet lehem nachal adoyim, to give them an inheritance of nations. If the nations of the world will say to Israel, Listim atem, you are thieves, shekevashtem arzo shiva amim, that you conquered your kochim, your occupiers of the land of the seven nations, heim amim lehem, Israel will say to them, Kol oretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he, the whole world belongs to the Holy One, blessed be he. Hu b'ra, he created it, unetanol asher yashar b'enav, and he gave it to the one. Famous first Rashi. So one of the questions that everybody asks on the Rashi, we're going to come to the United Nations. Or we're going to tell the British or the French whose anti-Semitism is, I tell you, it's back to the days of Dreyfus. Nothing has changed since Dreyfus. I tell you, I don't think we have a friend in the world, except maybe, I'm not sure, maybe Bush is. I don't know, I really don't know. It's unbelievable. I'll tell you, we're living in very, very unusual times.
A nation
that dwells alone. I remember crying out when two gentlemen, members of the government some years ago, said, Lo old am levadad yishkon. No longer will we be a people who dwells alone. God, what a mistake Jim and Ferris made. What a mistake. He thinks that he is going to do away with a pasuk in Torah, Lo old, we are no longer going to be a people that dwells alone. Oh, are we a people that dwells alone? Then the truth is, It's a lot better dwelling alone. I mean, I'm not interested. You know, family, you can't choose family, but, you know, if you could choose family, I wouldn't choose the nations of the world. You know, we have better family than that. No. All right. So what does Rashi mean? We're going to tell the nations of the world, listen, we're not occupiers. Rabbis on the West Bank, if they give chuppah kedushin, that's illegal. Legal marriage. Wait, you have to be such an anti-Semite to come up with something like that. You know, that's brilliant. Vive le Quebec libre. You understand? Okay, that's a new low in anti-Semitism. Not that going on. We have to make sure that all rabbis living in the West Bank should have two addresses, you understand? We'll give them an address inside Israel and one outside it. All right, listen. What does it mean? We're going to tell them, listen, the world belongs to God. Yeah. He took it from them and he gave it to us. So what do you want? They're really going to be extremely, extremely impressed by this argument. So what does Rashi mean? So I saw in the name of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro. Moshe Shapiro is one of the good Jews in Yerushalayim who says, you were in here once a week, I think, at Bar Sameach. Nice idea that yet has to be developed. And in fact, you see a little bit of this idea of the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Shemot. There's one big difference between Sefer Bereshit and Sefer Shemot. The book of Shemot is punctuated with miracles. Punctuated, more than punctuated. What are you talking about? Sefer Shemot is the book of miracles. Sefer Bereshit, which is the book of creation, Adam, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, no splitting of the Red Sea, no blood, frogs, anything else. Everything that takes place in Sefer Bereshit takes place within the context of nature. Within the context of nature. Bereshit, therefore, is the book of creation or nature. We know already what nature means. When we talk nature, this is a code word. As the Ramban would put it, constant miracles. But we know the meaning of the code word now. We know what nature means. We know the nature of nature. And we know that the nature of nature are the miracles of nature. All right? So he says the following. He says that the nations of the world may come someday and claim to us, we're an otherworldly people. We're a people of great, great and outstanding miracles. People such as us, we're not rooted in land. We're not rooted in this earth. We're citizens of the whole universe. And another way of calling us the wandering Jew. Who has a place in land? To whom does land make a difference? People who live within nature. But you're not nature. You're beyond nature. You're living in a world of great niflaot, great miracles. It's not for you to have land. So Rashi is saying the reason why Sefer Bereshit was written and then Sefer Shemot, first comes the book of nature. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yitzchak plants. Avram has cattle. Yaakov is a shepherd. They're all living within the confines of nature. Shemot is the bridge. The whole purpose of Shemot is, and it's repeated in Shemot time and time again, in order that you return to the land. Klal Yisrael, when they return to the land, are going to be returning to the natural existence of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The purpose of Sefer Bereshit is to say that we are a people who live within and by nature. We may have a more sophisticated knowledge of what nature really is, but our lives are natural lives. And ultimately the greatness of the Jewish people is going to be accomplished through the home. Not by being homeless, but being by the home and building the home. And that's what all of Sefer Bereishis is about. So Rabbi Yitzchak says the purpose of having written Sefer Bereishis first, before Sefer Shemot, in order to let us know that we are a people of nature who live within the bounds and the confines of nature. And if so, then we are entitled to a piece of land our own, just like anybody else. We are not the Luftmenschen, the ones who live, fly around the world and live on miracles. We don't live on miracles. The way we're supposed to live, what God wants more than anything else is that we should live by the book of Nisim Nistodim, the concealed miracles that are found within nature. Because you have to remember, just as the Ramban had said that God is not going to perform miracles for every Rosho or Kofer or non-believer who is going to pop up throughout all of history, our great challenge is the challenge of seeing God within nature. It's easy to believe in God when there are miracles. It's not so easy to believe in Him. It takes the leap of faith or the ability to look deeper and see that God in fact exists. So that's the Sefer Bereishit has to precede Sefer Shemot. You can't start with HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem. If you start with HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem, then what you're saying is that the whole existence of the Jewish people is a miracle, or, by the way, it is a miracle. Make no mistake. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the introduction to his Siddur, says, I swear to you, by the way, that's going to prove exactly our point. He says, I swear to you that the survival of the Jewish people is greater than all of the miracles in Egypt. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. Now, it means, when we see all of nature as being constant series of miracles, so yes, it may not be those nisim v'niflaot, but it is the nisim of that God has built into nature. What is built in? Because we said He's Mechadesh, He brought it into being, He knows, He has the ability, and His divine providence is over. We would not have survived. The truth is, when you sit down to think about it, it's amazing that we're around. We've caused so much aggravation to the poor nations of the world. Rahmanis. What did was it the French ambassador who said in London, it's all because of that dashing little Israel, all of that dashing little country, all of these sagas. I tell you, the world would be so much better off without us. It's such a great thing. I mean, the fact that we exist, we aggravate the kishkis out of them. I haven't had so much, I'm more aggravating them. Another few minutes, and I'm just going to introduce you to what will be coming next week, and it's there's so much to talk about miracles and nature, it most probably can be a whole series of shiurim, but the miracles continue into B'Shalach, and the fact is that they're going to continue through the 40 years of the desert. Jews are going to eat bread from heaven, water is going to come out from a rock. Just about 10 lines, and this is a Meshech Chochma, the very first Meshech Chochma, Parashat Chukotai. If you talk to people and you tell them about a Meshech Chochma in the Chukotai, everybody thinks of the Meshech Chochma at the end of the Chukotai, where he says that Jews will reach a point when they will think that Berlin, Hu Yerushalayim, Berlin is Jerusalem. That's an amazing historic analysis. We learned that a few years ago. But there's a great Meshech Chochma at the beginning of the Chukotai. I'm just going to start. So you'll get the general idea. Gemara says, rain, v'natati kishmechem b'itam, I will give you rain in its proper time. The Gemara says, the Torah Kahanim says, b'leilei Shabbos, coming down on Friday night. Friday night is the best time for Rebbe to come down. That's of course assuming that you're not a rabbi who has a shalom zocher to go to about 2 miles down the road and it's boring. All right, so we're talking about a Friday night. There are some without shalom zochers. I don't know. I hope nobody ever noticed that I'm so much happier when somebody calls me and says my wife had a baby girl. But all right, over the years I've gotten used to it. I know already. I can even enjoy boys. But listen, it says that it's supposed to rain. Friday night is a good time for it to rain. And the Gemara says a story that took place in the days of Shimon ben Shattach and in the days of Shlom Tzion Hamalka. Shlom Tzion, the queen, was the sister of Rav Shimon ben Shattach. So you gishomim yordim lele Shabbat lele Shabbat. Rain poured, came down every Friday night. Achenasu chitim kikloyes. The grains of wheat became as large as kidneys. Usaodim and barley kigavine zeitim, like the olive, the garinim, the pits, okay. V'adashim and beans were kedinrei zohav, like big, a dinar of gold. V'tzoru mehen chachamim v'inichum v'dorat haboim, the chachamim went and they hid them away, preserved them so that future generations should be able to see what happened to them. Lahudia, in order to tell us kama chayv goreng, what sin can do. In other words, without sin, we would have rain coming down over here. Oh. First of all, it would be Milele Shabbat, Milele Shabbat, and enough will come down. So that the... By the way, I remember the last time we had... When was the last time we had a winter that was...
92.
The winter after the Gulf War. They said then that flowers that had not been seen for 100 years in Eretz Yisrael were growing all over the country. Precious waters were... the Kinneret was the desert, was overflowing. I mean, could be, you know, if Bush starts doing things quickly, it might yet be, maybe this winter yet will... No chance? Why does the war have to wait till after we go to the polls? I don't know. All right. you see, Klal Yisrael Pashit is holding the whole world in suspense. So he says, Lahudia, in order to let you know how much sin causes Shinema, the Chatoseichem, Manu Atov, became your sins of that which have withheld good from you. Ho'inyan. And Hogo Hamisit, he ain't not takleted. That's it. And Hogo Hamisit, running the world by miracles and not taklitit, is not the goal and the objective of this world. That's the statement that the Meshech Chochma makes, and he's going to explain it, and a lot of parts of davening are going to be understood by us as a result of this Meshech Chochma. What he's really saying is exactly what the Rambam said at the end of this great piece that we learned. From the great Nisim that Amufur Samim, we learn that the whole world is Nisim is Sam, concealed miracles. In a sense, we once discussed this, goes back years. There are two words, and we'll elaborate on it in Yes Hashem next week. There are two words that we usually use, and sometimes we use them interchangeably and shouldn't be so. Nes and Pele. And that's going to be, that will emerge out of next week's parsha. Nes is a miracle. Truth is, nes, when we talk about nes, nes really comes from the word nes nisar. Nes, the Hebrew word nes, really means that which is in concealment. What is a miracle that goes beyond the bounds of nature? That's called a pele. Pele. Niflaot. Unbelievable niflaot. My only claim to have been a candidate possibly to be a Rebbe is because it occurred to me, what's the numeric? I never worked with the gematria. You know that. You know me already. What's the gematria, the value of nace? Nace, a nun is 50 and a samach is 60. That's what? 110. Pele, 80 and 30 is? And the aleph? 111. That means, first of all, what's the difference between Neis and Pele? In Pele, the aleph of Echad, God is seen clearly. In Nes, he is concealed. Neis is concealed within Pele. It's just the difference whether you see God clearly or you have to discern, or you have to be able to see him. If you know how to look, if your religious vision is good, you can see him in each and every nace. And that's really all of, we say it in davening. We thank God on Yisrael and Yisrael that you do with us each and every day. Everything is nest. What are you talking about, you know? The birth of a child, a miracle. What do you mean a miracle? Of course it's a miracle. You breathe every minute, it's a miracle. All right, listen, Hemsheikh Yavol. Thank you.